Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. My wife said I should give a little more flexibility on not starting so on time because I have to give people time to get onto Zoom. I think we try to start on time. We have a lot to get to always. So those who are coming in late, I apologize, but we're going to try to start as much on time as possible. This past week's parashas, Achri Moisin Kedoshim, the Torah teaches us, I think, a very important lesson for the times that we're living in right now. Right now we're struggling, and we are, for many of us, a breaking point, so to say, about being quarantined. You know, it's one thing to be quarantined for a day, a week, maybe even a month. We're holding now, we're going on almost 6 weeks, and I think for many people, especially now when the weather gets better, I think we're really getting frustrated. And I know of, and I was involved in a case of an illegal minion taking place, and I just want to speak out, and Rav Asher Weiss has been speaking about this as well, and I don't need to, you know, push his message. Obviously, he speaks for himself. But I think it's an important message from this week's parasha. This week's parasha, the Torah tells us that Aaron HaKohen is told that he's not permitted to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wants. And he's only allowed to come in on Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim point out that you see from over here that Aaron had a desire to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He wanted to have access into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yet he was told through Moshe Rabbeinu that he's not allowed to. So I think the lesson for many of us is we want to daven with a minyan. We're all good people. We all want to daven with a minyan. Someone called me the other week. He has yard site. We all want to be back in shul. That's coming from a good place. It's coming from a she'ifa, a desire for spirituality. But if it's not what Hashem wants, so then it's wrong. If Aaron HaKohen would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on a random Tuesday, as nice as it would be to be Kodosh, but it's not the will of Hashem. Our job in this world is to do the will of Hashem. Spirituality is merely a reflection of Ratzon Hashem. So if Ratzon Hashem is not to daven with a minyan, then it makes absolutely no sense to daven with a minyan. And it's frustrating where people come up with these frumah cheshbonis to try to tell you that they really what they're doing is right. It's mamish against what Hashem wants. If we trust the doctors, and we would for any other shayla that came up, if this was Yom Kippur and we were asking a shayla about can you eat on Yom Kippur, and the large percentage of doctors would say X or Y, we'd all follow them without a question. Yet when it comes to something like a minyan, which is not even a chiv, it's a hiddur, it's not a chiv, not the rabban or not the right, so we're all saying, no, the doctors are all wrong, we know better. It's troubling. And it really shows us that it's not coming from the right place. It's not coming from the place that I want to serve Hashem. Because Hashem doesn't want the type of avdus. It's not what He wants. And the same way Aaron HaKohen would not be permitted to go into the Kodesh anytime he wants, for whatever reason, we'll get to in a second why. And if he were to do so, would not be considered serving Hashem, would be considered really self-serving. So for those people that are having a hard time with this and they're struggling with this, they have to just ask themselves, am I serving Hashem for me or am I serving Hashem for Hashem? Am I serving Hashem for me because I want to feel part of a minyan, I want to say Hishmei Rabba, I want to be back in Shul, okay. Or you're serving Hashem for Hashem. If you're serving Hashem for Hashem, He doesn't want you there. So if He doesn't want you, then pushing yourself there doesn't make any sense. Again, for many people, it's hard to swallow this because, again, we're always told that a minyan is so important, and davening together, and yeshivas, everything is important. But everything is a balancing act, and we're living very trying times, and we have to remind ourselves that if this is not Ratzon Hashem, and we follow what Chazal tell us, and we follow what our Rabbanim tell us, and we follow what the doctors tell us. That's what we're supposed to do. We do that with a deraisa. Why would we not do it with something which is a much lower level obligation? And we just have to remind ourselves that when we want to serve Hashem in that way, we have to ask ourselves, am I serving Hashem out of what I want? Am I serving Hashem out of what Hashem wants? And clearly at this moment, Hashem doesn't want us coming into the shuls. Now Rashi tells us that why couldn't Aaron HaKohen come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wants? So Chaim Shmuel Levitz says a piece in Sichas Musar, he elaborates on this Rashi, and he explains because if you do anything so frequent, it loses its value. Can you imagine if you ate steak straight for 3 weeks, at some point you'd get a little bit sick of steak. Therefore, says the Chaim Shmuel Levitz, if Aaron was allowed access to the Kodesh HaKadosh every single day of the year or whenever he wanted, eventually the Kodesh HaKadosh would not take on the same Kedusha as it did beforehand. And this is something I think we're grappling with right now. Maybe one of the reasons that we were locked out of our shuls is because we started to take on this lax attitude towards our shul. If you remember, we go in 3 times a day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of shul travel. And after a while, we started to lose sight, perhaps, on what a shul really is. A shul became a place where we greet friends. A shul became a place where we socialize. A shul became a place for interacting with each other. But that's only because we forgot that a shul is really a makom kaddish. What's a Beis Medrash? A Beis Medrash is a place where people come to learn. A Beis Medrash is a place where people shmooze and people do things that are questionable in these places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore shut us out of these places to remind us that we have to get our priority straight. We need to revisit these Mekayimus HaKadoshim and ask ourselves, have we been treating these places with the proper respect? Have we been showing the proper Kedusha to both our Batei Knesiyos and our Batei Midrashos? And that's perhaps why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now locking us out of them so we can rethink and retake them back. I can imagine that the moment we come back to our shuls, and I hope that it should be very soon, the moment we step back into the shul, it's going to be a very, very different feeling than it was 7 weeks ago when we went into the shul for a regular mincha ma'ariv. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be electrifying. It's going to be very, very, very moving, I think, for everyone. But I think our job is to make sure that that feeling lasts way beyond we're talking about coronavirus. We need to be able to ensure that 2 years from now, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, when we step into shul, we say to ourselves, I know what a shul is. I remember when I wasn't allowed to come to shul. I remember when we were locked out of shul. I know that in a shul, I am not going to be schmoozing and I'm not going to be checking my emails and I'm not going to be doing other things. That this is a shul. And I know as quickly as we can get back into the shul, we can get picked right back out of the shul. The discussion amongst the doctors, will corona return in the fall with the flu season, this, that, and the other, obviously from a medical standpoint. We know as Jews that everything happens from Hashem, and if we didn't get the message the first time, there's nothing stopping the message from coming a second time. So I think we all have to really remind ourselves in this week's parsha of the value and the appreciation of our Mekayimus HaKadoshim. And it's, again, we have to figure out a way how not to allow routine to seep in into our shuls. How are we going to ensure that, yes, we daven three times a day, yes, we daven 7 days a week, but how are we going to make it that when we step into that shul, it's a different experience? It's like Kodesh HaKadoshim for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he doesn't lose that sense of Kedusha, we can retain it somehow. And it's not easy. I think we all have to work on it together, but we have to work it as individuals as well. We have to come up with a plan, and when we're going to step into shul, it's going to be a very, very different shul experience. We also find something unique is that, you know, many people are grappling with how to deal with coronavirus from a Shalom Bayis standpoint. It's very hard. Husbands and wife have been spending more hours together than they've ever done in many, many years. And for some people, this is a big nisayon. Many people are grappling with this. Other people, I think, are embracing it. I would just point out, in the secular world, there's studies that came out of China that after corona lockdown was allowed, many couples got divorced. The divorce rate was extremely high. People spent a lot of time with each other. They got irritated with each other, and they separated. They got divorced. In last week's parasha, the Torah reminds us that we're not supposed to learn from the goyim around us. The Torah says, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, don't pick up bad habits from Canaan. When you left Mitzrayim, don't pick up bad habits from Mitzrayim. I wonder if the Torah is reminding us that we as Jews deal with situations perhaps differently than the goyim around us. Now, I'm not saying that it's not easy to get frustrated with your spouse when you're under tow 24/7. It's very easy, but there's an important lesson in last week's parasha. The Torah reminds us in last week's parasha that the Kohen Gadol couldn't work on Yom Kippur unless he had a wife. And the Mishnah tells us not only did he have to have a wife, he had to have a backup wife in case something happened to his first wife. So Moshe Sternberg points out and says, well, what's this big hang-up with a wife? You know, Kohen Gadol can function quite well without a wife. So he writes, this is an important lesson to the priesthood. Right? In the church, they believe that the higher you are, you can't be married. You have to be married to Hashem, married to Yoshka, whatever it is. He says, we have the opposite approach. Our highest ranking member of the community, Bedavka, needs to be married. Because the marriage brings out the greatness of who we are. Behind every great man is a great woman. Our shleimus, our completion, is only by our spouses. And that's why the Kohen Gadol, in order to obtain slicha v'kapara on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, he needed to have a wife. So perhaps when we're in a difficult situation, instead of allowing this quarantine to separate us, maybe it should bring us closer. Right? Many husbands are around the house much more. They see more what goes on in the house. They see, appreciate more. Oh, I didn't realize my wife does this, my wife does that. She cooks this, she cooks that, she cleans, right? Sometimes you come home, it's all done already. So, oh, it's great, it's all done, terrific. But sometimes when you're home and you're watching it, you see, hey, Taka, I didn't realize that. This, all are stages and phases that were required to get to the point. So I'm just suggesting, perhaps, I'm not saying it's easy for anyone, but maybe we can allow this not to bring us apart, like maybe the Gaimim, but we can allow this to bring it together. A new appreciation for our spouses. We appreciate all that they do, and therefore will actually bring us closer. Not the opposite of separating us. We also find in the parasha and parasha Kedoshim, we have the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Those of you who listen to Rabbi Moshe Weiss' Shurim, he said this story over twice in his shir on tuition and his chumash shir, but it's a very important lesson. He basically says over Chassidus Shemaisa, where he says over the famous line, where someone asked, do you know what I don't like? And the person says, no, I don't know what you don't like, and his answer is, then you don't really know me, or you don't really love me. I think it's such a powerful message. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha doesn't mean, in theory, that Rabbi Moshe Weiss elaborates. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha doesn't just mean I love you and you love me and everyone's loving, everyone's great. It's real. It means that I know you well enough to know what you don't like. A good friend knows what their friend does not like. That's what we say. What you don't like, don't do to your friend. So Rabbi Shabbos explained that it's not just a feeling of, you know, a kumbaya, we all love each other, everything's hunky-dory. It's a real realization, a deep-found recognition to who my friend is. And in order to know your friend, you have to know what they don't like. Because if you don't know what they don't like, there's no way for you to accidentally not hurt them. I think it's so true for a spouse. If you have the rachamech, it goes on to a spouse also. The Gemara actually says it about a spouse. The Gemara says in the beginning of second parak of Kedushin, you're not allowed to marry a woman until you actually see her. Because maybe you won't like her and you'll violate v'haftar reacha kamaicha. So you see, even, of course, with a spouse, it's v'haftar reacha kamaicha. But if you don't know what your spouse doesn't like, it's almost impossible that you're not going to transgress something because you don't know what ticks them off, you don't know what gets them angry. So it's such an important mitzvah, v'haftar reacha kamaicha, with all Jews, and especially when it comes to our spouses, specifically, especially in a time where we're really cooped up and it's very trying. It's not easy. It's not easy to get upset. It's not easy to get into fights. But the more we know about our spouses, the better off we'll be because we won't transgress. Because if you know what ticks people off, you know how to stay connected to them. And again, Rabbi Shabbos also used this passage to explain how careful we have to be not to chas v'shalom be lax in any of our restrictions or things that we're doing to prevent the spread of coronavirus. I don't know if anyone was out yesterday. The weather was beautiful, and I was very disturbed. I saw a lot of people without masks and a lot of people not socially distancing, and it bothered me a lot because A, it's dangerous, and B, I thought it was a massive chilul Hashem. There's enough problems in other communities about the police and other things. We don't need it. It's not worth it, and it's dangerous. So v'ahavta rechak kamecha means if I don't want to get you sick, if you don't want to get sick, you shouldn't pass it on to anyone else. So when we go out in public, we should be wearing masks, and we have to follow the rules and regulations that are dictated by us, dictated to us. And I think besides for the fact that we have to stay safe, which I think is important enough, we have to keep in cheshbon as a big chilul Hashem. Goyim see us, and the police drive by, and they see yidden that are converting on corners, and yidden that are hanging out with each other. It's terrible. It's really bad. I don't know why people have, again, I understand why people are more lax. The weather's nice. You can only do it for so long. I get it all, trust me. But if we're going to follow the doctors, which we do for everything else, I don't see why we're not following this for this. Again, it's frustrating. I get it. I don't enjoy wearing a mask, and I don't enjoy having my kids home either. But no one enjoys it. It's not a question of enjoyment. It's a question of doing what's right. We have to do our part to ensure we're not spreading this virus. And that's v'haftar reacha kamaicha. If you really care about somebody, you don't want to get him sick. If you really love him, you don't want to get him sick. Many people spend Pesach this year alone. Why? Because they actually care about their family members. Because if they didn't care about their family members, they'd be saying, okay, come over to the Seder, don't worry. Even though perhaps that could have been passing the virus over to other people. So we have to remind ourselves that as difficult the time is, and it is, this is a time that we've never seen before in our entire lives, and hopefully we never will. But we have to do what we're told to. We have to follow guidelines, and we have to try to ensure that we can knock this out the proper way, and Mr. Shem, we should all be able to get together in a healthy way. Instead of doing this a half-baked way, which is not going to help anyone, we do this the right way, Mr. Shem, we'll be able to get together in a proper way to really push this virus out and be able to move on to much healthier and happier times. Okay, today's learning is dedicated to the Refuah Shleimah for all those who need it, for all those that are suffering, whether it be from corona or other viruses, as well as for a Refuah Shleimah for Sigal Chana, for Fa'ela Bas Yarna, Pesach ben Devora, Peril Yenta Bas. David, I didn't write it down yet. Peril Yenta Bas.
He's not here.
He's not on today, okay. Peril Yenta Bas, I forgot the, I don't have the end. And Chayla, I don't remember her name. We'll just leave her Bas, Alta Hudi, Zisol, Besorch Shar Charli Yisrael. Again, if anyone has any specific people or a yard site that they can't commemorate in Shul, please have the learning today, the Ilan Nishmas, them as well. Yes, Michael.
Rabbi, could I add one more?
Please do. Okay. Our learning today should be a refuah shleima for that, as for those as well. Today we're starting a new sugya in Rabbalaz Demila, very exciting. And we're back in the 19th parak of Shabbos. We took a little bit of a break. But Baruch Hashem, we're back in business. We're back to our Masechta as usual. Now, we're going to be starting a new sugya, which is going to get us into a very complicated question, very political, very sticky, very medical, about the procedure we all know today as metzitza bepeh. Everyone's ever been to a bris milah, they know that part of the procedure is that the mohel, there's actually three parts to the bris milah. The mohel cuts the foreskin, he pulls back the foreskin, which is known as the priya, he pulls it back, and then he'll suck out the blood, that's known as metzitza. Now, before we could even discuss the shaila of metzitza bepeh with all its controversy and all its background and all its medical trimmings, we have to first learn the sugya inside of metzitza. If anyone looks at the front cover of today's Ma'amar Mekayim sheets, which I hope and pray I can pull up right now, or I'm going to get it over the head. If you look on the Maamar Mekayim sheets, you'll see that the topic is Metzitza Achel Baruch Hashem. Okay. Metzitza im Chelek min Hamila. The question that we have to first get into is, if you're even going to discuss the Shaila Metzitza Bepeh, you have to first figure out what role does Metzitza play in the Mila. And once we figure out what role Metzitza plays in the Mila, we can then figure out how to do the Metzitza. So let's start the Sugya. Zokti Gemara, Shabbos Kufla Amad Gimel Amad Beis. If you remember, when we learned this last many weeks ago, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that all the things that are necessary for the Mila may be performed on Shabbos. And the Mishnah said you can cut the baby, you can pull back, and you can do the Metzitza. Zokti Gemara. Amar Rav Papa. Says Rav Papa. Hi Umna. Very interesting wording of the Gemara. An Umna. What's an Umna? A trade. A person who has a trade. Now, usually that's not the word you'd expect in discuss over there. You think it just said Hi Mayol. What's an Umna? Umna is a person that has a trade. That's an Umman. It's a job. We'll see why this wording of the Gemara might be relevant in
mumcha,
the sugya.
Why you normally say mumcha? No.
Okay, good. We're going to see why this word was chosen to describe a moil. So the Gemara says, "Hi umna dolei mayitz." If you have a moil who does not do mitzitza, sakonahu, he is putting the baby in danger. Va'avrinan lei, and we remove him from his position. If a moil decides not to do mitzitza, he bails out after the priya. He does the cutting, he pulls the back, and then he's already downstairs getting the bagels. Says the Gemara, that's wrong. He's putting the baby in danger, and he's got to be removed from his position. Frag the Gemara pshita, that's pashat. Why? From the fact that I'm allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos, it means that it's considered a chelo Shabbos. Right? If it wouldn't be considered a sakana, why am I allowed to violate the Shabbos? So why do I need Rav Papa to tell me that if a moil doesn't do mitzitza, he's putting the baby in danger? I know he's putting the baby in danger. Because if it wouldn't be considered in danger, it wouldn't be permitted on Shabbos. And the Mishnah told us, you're allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos. Now, what's the obvious question that many people are thinking right now? What's the proof? Maybe it's not sakana, but it's part of the mitzvah. And just like the mitzvah of cutting is Doicha Shabbos, and the mitzvah of pulling back is Doicha Shabbos, so the mitzvah of mitzitza is also Doicha Shabbos. How do you know that the reason why you're allowed to do it on Shabbos is because it's sakana? Maybe the reason why you're allowed to do it on Shabbos is because Mila is Doicha Shabbos. And the same way I could do the chaticha, I could do the mitzitza. That's a big question, which Billy Neda will come back to. So the Gemara gives a different answer. Gemara says, Ma'u the same one. I would have thought something different. Haida mifkit pocket. I would have thought that the blood in the baby is not really, it's sitting in a pouch. Rashi says, what's mifkat pocket? It's like Rashi, Mao the same, Rashi number two. Masnisan layashm ina de machal shabbos oleh. The Mishnah is not a proof that you're allowed to violate the Shabbos on it. Why? The da mifkat pocket. Maybe you're not really violating the Shabbos. The havamina of the Gemara was that every single time you do mitzitza, you're not actually violating the Shabbos. Why? Because maybe the blood is considered da mifkat pocket. V'oimeichom kenosim bekli. You have to look at the blood inside the body, not that it's attached to the body, but it's like sitting in a pouch inside the body. Ube mitzitza ein chabura. And when you do mitzitza, you're not really violating any asurim. Therefore, v'ein kan isur taira. There's no asurim. Umishum hachishari. That's why you're allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos. V'la mishum sakona. And not because it's dangerous. V'umna doloi mayitz b'chol nifl v'yad ha'moyol. Who wouldn't do mitzitza during the week? No one cares. Why? He didn't put the baby in danger. You shouldn't get fired. So the havamina of the Gemara is that mitzitza on Shabbos doesn't transgress anything. Because if you look at the blood as if it's mifkat pocket, you look at the blood as if it's sitting in a sack. And it's not really balua, so therefore you're not oiva Shabbos. And therefore there's no rai from the Mishnah that it's sakana. Again, we'll come back to all this blineder, hold on. Says the Gemara, kamash malo, not true. Chabure michpa. The kamashman of our braisa is no, that really the blood is considered attached to the body. It's like Rashi, kishe yoytza idei metzitza, when you take it out of idei chatzitza, it's violating the Shabbos. V'afilu hachi shari, and it's still permissible. Why? Mishum sakana, it must be because it's dangerous. And now we know that dangerous things are a reason to get fired from your job. Then the Gemara, this is the end, very important. That's the Gemara, v'dumyo dispalanis v'kamon. It's like the gauze and the medicine that you put on after the bris milah. Ma ispalnis v'kamon. Just like the ispalnis v'kamon. Kilay ovit sakonahu. If you won't do that after the milah, if you won't put on the proper medication after the bris, it'll be dangerous to the baby. Af hochenami. So to mitzitza. Kilay ovit. If you're not going to do it, sakonahu. It's going to be dangerous for the baby. So if you'd stop right there. The Gemara seems to be screaming to you that mitzitza is merely just like the bandages. Is there anyone that's going to argue that putting on the ointment after the bris milah is part of the bris milah? Of course not. That's medicinal. You have to stop and ask yourself, when does the mitzvah end and medicinal kicks in? So the moel does, we'll call it the spiritual part of it. He does the mitzvah part. And the moel, and then the doctors take over and do the medicinal part of it. If you have to split a bris milah into two, you'd split it as mitzvah, medicinal. Now, where does the mitzvah end and the medicinal start? So if the simple reading of this Gemara, one would assume mitzitza is not mitzvah. Mitzitza is medicinal. The Gemara calls it. The Gemara says, Dumya d'ispalanitz v'kamon. It's like the bandage and the ointment you put on afterwards. That's not mitzvah. That's medicinal. So l'chayra, this Gemara...
Someone else could do the mitzitza.
Very good. L'chayra, l'fizeh, you can have a guy do the mitzitza. You can have an isha do the mitzitza. You can even have a katan do the mitzitza. Because it's not part of the Maisa Mila. The Mila ended after Priya. That's the Maisa Mila. What you do afterwards is just medicinal. Get anyone who knows the most medicine should do it. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara. Now, it can't be that simple because we wouldn't have a whole share about this today, that Mitzitza is part of the Maisa Mila. But the simple reading of the Gemara, and the Avnei Nezer points this out, and we'll see many point this out, you read the Gemara simply, you say to yourself, Mitzitza is merely an act of medicinal treatment. Which is why you have to ask yourself, so why is everyone so up in arms about doing Mitzitza B'peh? Since when do we care how you do a medical treatment? If mitzitza is merely just a medicinal treatment, who cares what you do? Use a tool, use your mouth, use your foot, use a dog, who cares? So that obviously makes the question so much more complicated. Why are people so hung up on mitzitza? Only mitzitza prepared. Well, what do you mean, why? It's not a maisa meal. The meal is over. The meal is over. It's medicine. Do you care which back turban you put on the baby? Do you care which bandage you put on the baby? So why do you care which medicinal treatment you use on the baby? And that's what we need to get into today.
Rabbi,
yes.
Even if you hold Dom Miska Puckett,
yeah,
that's not only medicinal. That could be a sakana to the Avim.
No, but the point
you
is,
take the blood out. It's a sakana also.
No,
it's
but
not
the,
just the
no, I understand. The Havamina of the Gemara is that if you hold Dom Miska Puckett, then do mitzitza on Shabbos is not chilul Shabbos. So then the reason why you're doing it on Shabbos is not because it's sakana that you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos, because it's mutter, because it's taka not chilul Shabbos. That was the Havamina of the Gemara. The Havamina of the Gemara is that if you hold Dam Mifkud Pakid, there's no Chilul Shabbos taking place over here, which we need to discuss much more in a second. The Kmashmon of the Gemara is, no, we hold Dam Michber Chaber. And since Dam Michber Chaber, it is considered a violation on Shabbos. Aye, so why am I allowed to do it on Shabbos? The answer is because it's Taka Sakana. Meaning we weren't sure if Mitzitza is really Sakana, or maybe just Mitzitza is not Asr because there's no Chilul Shabbos involved. Now, if anyone remembers... from.
I'm sorry, I can't yeah. Imagine this. Like, what is the core of it? Why would the Havamina, this is part
of the... good. So we're going to get to today. Belina, we're going to discuss if there are sources somewhere that it's actually part of the Mila. Meaning it's all of Lahavi Raya. For those people who believe that Mitzitza is a chelik of the Mila, you got to prove it. Because the simple reading of the Gemara goes the other ways. And we'll see, they come up with some creative reasons or mekairos for how Mitzitza is a mitzvah. Now this Gemara that we just read is also found in Ksubas Davav. Famous Gemara in Ksubas Davav, the Gemara has a shayla, are you allowed to have beer rishayna on Friday night? Let's say a couple gets married for the first time, and they get married, let's say, this happens all the time, couples get married, let's say, Thursday night. So the first night of the chasana, they weren't able to consummate the marriage for a lot of reasons, and now it's Friday night, and they want to try to consummate the marriage. Now what's the problem? On the side that they actually consummate the marriage, and he breaks the psulim, that's going to cause bleeding. So the question is that permissible on Shabbos? So the Gemara clears the same shayla as we have over here. The Gemara wants to know, is Dam Mifkat Pocket, or is Dam Michper Chaver? So the Gemara by us concludes that Dam is Chaburi Mechber, which means when you cause blood to come out of the body, that would be considered a violation of some form of Isser on Shabbos. The Havamina was that it's not. It's considered Mifkat Pocket. Now, maybe next week we'll talk about a little bit of the science behind this, but again, it's more of a medical question of how to understand the Havamina.
It's and the Mitzvah Baba Avera.
Right, that's why it wouldn't be allowed. Right, if you tackle hold, it wouldn't be permitted to have beer rishayna. Again, halach l'maisa, we paskin, it is mutter. You're allowed to have beer rishayna on Friday night, which again, for many couples, is very negay, because when you have Shavuot Brachos, so every night you're running and flying, you never really have a chance to just, you know, do what you need to do. So Friday night is usually quieter, especially in the winter. Shavuot Brachos is over early, you go back to wherever you're staying, and you have a chance to consummate the marriage. But l'maisa, we paskin, it's mutter. But the Gemara clears exact same shayla. So there are those who ask. The Gemara says over here that it's...
Is there a difference between the blood being coming out?
That's exactly... Anyway? Right. So that's what I saw in a Sefer this week, that he associates the two bloods, and I don't know if that's a fair assumption. I don't know if the blood from the cutting of the foreskin is the same blood that comes from the basulum of a girl. I don't know if we can assume that the blood is the same, the same mitzias. I don't know. But that's just an interesting point. I just want everyone to... Those of you who have seen the Gemara in Ksubas Davava, famous Gemara, the same Gemara there applies as well. Now, there's a...
Just as an aside, could you please remind me, why if Priya is part of the Mila, why shouldn't Mitzitza B'Pah also be? Because why should it be any worse?
Because Priya we might have a riot to from a Pasuk. We'll see this Gemara in Yevamis, the one makes the Drasha, it says in the Torah, he mol yimol. So one is referring to the Mila and one's referring to the Priya. That's a Gemara.
Ah, okay.
But there's no Gemara anywhere that says anything about Mitzitza. Now, we're believing that to talk about this more next week, but you have to ask yourself a very basic kash on this Gemara. The Gemara and the Havamina that Dam is Mifka Pocket, right? On the Havamina that Dam is Mifka Pocket, so it means that when you cut the baby, or when you do Mitzitza, you're not violating the Shabbos. Because the Dam is not considered, coming out. So, one second. If you hold that every Mila is Dam Mifka Pocket, so there's never a Chil Shabbos and a Bris Mila. Didn't the Gemara tell us that Shabbos and Bris Mila are a contradiction to each other? They're not a contradiction to each other. If you hold Dam Mifkat Pakid, so then never is a Bris Mila a problem on Shabbos. So if you look over at number 3 in the Sefer Isha Yisrael, he asks this question. He says, Ein lahakshes, eich saka daitach Dam Mifkat Pakid. How could there even be a havamin in the Gemara that Dam is Mifkat Pakid? If you hold Dam is Mifkat Pakid, then what comes out? The Ein bechabura is a derais. That means when you cause someone, if I cut someone on Shabbos, I'm not even Issa derais. So why? Because the Dam is Mifkat Pakid. Im Kain, Loma Likra Lahata Mila B'Shabbos. So why do I need a Pasuk B'Yei Mashmini Afilu B'Shabbos? That Mila's Deicha Shabbos. What violation is there?
The Hamizai Afilu?
Oh, good. So if you remember, we had a share a while back, we had like 5 or 6 Pshatim in Rishonim, what Malacha is there in Mila. We always assume that Mila had to do with the blood coming out. So Frek the Sefer, if it has to do with the blood coming out, and the Havim Digmar is Dam Mifkat Pakid, which means the blood is not the issue, so why is Mila B'Shabbos Asim? So the Yishlemer, he answers, the Havamin Mishum Chitocha Orla, HaMechubad, who told of the Geis. As we mentioned, there's a Shidim Mekubetzis like this in Ksubis. The Shidim Mekubetzis learns that the violation of Mila B'Shabbos is not the blood. It's Geises. It's the cutting off of the foreskin, that somehow is Geises. So he wants to say, you're going to have to learn like that here also. That if the Havamin in the Gemara, that Dam is Mifkat Pakid, so that if Dam is Mifkat Pakid, so that any blood that comes out from the Mila is not a problem on Shabbos, so why is Mila a Shaila on Shabbos? You're going to have to come up with other reasons. Either, let's say we mentioned Makaba Patish, that you'd be Masakin the baby, or like he's suggesting that it's Geizes. But the problem is both Rashi and Rav Rishonim assume that the Issur of Mila on Shabbos had to do with Chabura. And Chabura wouldn't be a problem in the Havamin of the Gemara. So it's a bit of a problem how to explain the Havamin of the Gemara. That Dam is Mifkat Pakid, why would Mila be Asar on Shabbos? Okay, that's something that needs explanation. Again, it's a Havamina, a Maskana, it would be a problem. So now the question that we need to get into is, what is the role of Mitzitza in the Mila? Again, the simple reading of this Gemara would be very clear to all of us that the role of Mitzitza in the Mila is merely medicinal. It's to get the blood out, because if the blood stays there, it clogs, whatever, it's somehow dangerous. Gotta get the blood out. How you get the blood out is your business. Now, the Gemara does take a very strong stand over here about Sakana, to the point that the Gemara says you have to remove a Moyo who doesn't do it. It means he's not doing his full job. So on one hand, the Gemara is calling it the Moyo's job. On the other hand, it's medicinal. Now, would the Moyo get fired if he doesn't put on the bandage? Or he throws it to the mother and says, here, you figure it out. Right? Would there anyone suggest that if the Moyo doesn't bandage up the baby, he doesn't put on a backstrap band or whatever topical medication, the Moyo loses his job? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara only says he wouldn't get another job. What?
He wouldn't get another job.
Right, but here the Gemara is saying, we're going to remove him because he's a danger to society. Now, the guy who does the Mitzitza...
If we remove him, somebody else obviously has to do the Mitzitza. If he didn't do it, and we removed him...
Okay, good, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about why can't someone else just do the Mitzitza.
I just don't know. Is that common practice, even amongst non-risk Mila in hospitals?
To do what, Mitzitza?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they do it or what they do. I don't know, it's a good question. To find out what are they doing in the non-Jewish worlds, are they still also having some concern of suctioning the blood? That's a question we can ask a doctor. There is a Stechemed by us. The Stechemed wrote a lot about this topic. And the Stechemed writes that there are those who argue that this whole Gemara is outdated. We don't like doing this because it's like, you know, very, very borderline, you know, Orthodox. But there's a Stechemed who suggests that someone told him that this whole Mitzitza is outdated. Today the blood doesn't clot and there's no problems. You don't need to do Mitzitza today. Now, I don't know if that's the accepted medical approach, but that's definitely not the firm approach. But Lemaisa, the Stechemed, deals with that in one of his pieces. He has a lot of pieces. We'll see some this week. A lot of pieces in the Stechemed where he discusses Mitzitza. And someone presented this tzad to him, that maybe today we don't need to do Mitzitza because the Mitzitza has changed. Now, we don't like saying that, but That's a possibility. So I don't know what they're doing in the hospitals today in the, from the medical standpoint. I guess you can we can speak to a doctor and get clarity on that issue. Now there's a medrash. We'll start off with a medrash. There's a medrash that's brought down by the Rambam. The Rambam in his Sefer Igeres Maimer HaKodesh, the Rambam quotes the following medrash. Number 3b left corner. Medrash says, that in Mitzrayim, Moshe Ma'al. In Mitzrayim, Moshe did the Mila, the Yeshua Pireya, Yeshua did the Priya, the Aaron Moitzetz, and Aaron did the Mitzitza. So Ramanasha Klein, which is where I quoted this from in number 3b, says, one second, if Mitzitza is just medicinal, why is the medrash mentioning that Aaron did the Mitzitza? Aaron, the nurse, Miriam, who cares? Right? His mom, Yocheved, right? They all could have done the Mitzitza. It sounds like from this medrash that we're giving credence to Mitzitza. Because if not, why else would the medrash mention, oh, Moshe did the Mechatich, and Yeshua did the Pri, and Aaron did the Mitzitza? You know? So this would definitely give us, again, it's a medrash. I'm not saying we're going to pass from Allah HaMaisa necessarily, but I'm just showing you that there is such a medrash that the medrash seems to give some form of chashivas to the act of Mitzitza.
Maybe it's even more so that it also shows that it's an umnah. Because the fact that Aaron did it.
What do you mean it shows? What do you mean that it's an umnah? What do you mean by that? That it's an umnah? What does that mean?
Mean that he was trained for that. Maybe that's a raya. In other words, because why wouldn't Aaron? Why would Yeshua get the pre over Aaron?
So this is Stamazay going to take us to another discussion which we had a while back about splitting up the jobs. If anyone remembers, our last shiur on Rebbe Elazar d'Amila, which was quite some time ago, we had a big question about you're allowed to divide the jobs on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, it used to be that they'd split it. One guy would do the chaticha and one guy would do the priya. So we had a machlokes, mechaba and ramah, are you allowed to divide it on Shabbos? So we're going to come back to that idea of dividing. Now, l'chayra, from the fact that we split these things to three jobs, it gives you the impression that they're all three essential parts of the ma'ase mila. Aaron.
Why couldn't you split it on Shabbos?
Because the question is, we want to limit the amount of chilul Shabbos. If one person's already being mechal the Shabbos.
It's the same amount of chilul Shabbos, just more people.
Right. The question is, should we get more people to be mechal the Shabbos, or we should just limit it to the amount of people? Now, that's part of the kasha. We saw the Vilna Gaon brings a ray from the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We know they did avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, which was a violation of the Shabbos. So did we say that one kohen did all the jobs? Or we distributed it normally? So we mentioned that part of the shaila is Mila Hutra or is Mila Dechuya. We mentioned some of these things. I believe that we'll come back to it at the, I hope it's on page 3, which means we'll get to it who knows when. But hopefully we'll come back to it again with regard to Mitzitza. So there's a very important ran in our sugya that is going to perhaps answer the question of what is the role of Mitzitza in the Ma'aseh HaMila. There is a ran like this. If you remember, we spoke many weeks ago. We were discussing the sugya of Tzitzit She'ena Ma'akvin. This concept that if you have your middle of the Mila, and you didn't complete the Mila, so the halach is, you go back to, you go back for the non-essential strands. Now, what does it mean to finish the Mila? Says the Ran, number 4. Zok the Ran. Umistavra. The chol's man shehu misasik b'tzarchei Mila. As long as you're involved in the necessary procedures for the Mila, kigoin, chatichasoi, cutting the Mila, upriyasoi, and pulling it back, umitzitasoi, and doing mitzitza. Loi mikri pirish. It's not cool that you finished, it's not cool that you pulled back your hand. You're still involved in the Mila. Dekulu tzarech milaninu, because they're all needed for the Mila. Avalim silik yodav achamikan. But if I would pull my hand back after that, hainu pirish, that's pirish. So when the Gemara says, what does it mean to be pirish? What does it mean to finish the procedure? Says the Ran, finishing the procedure means I already completed the Mitzitza. That's his first shot. Even though I didn't yet put on the bandages. Those are considered necessary for the refuah. Therefore, says the Ran, what do we consider still being involved after you finish the Mitzitza? After you consider the Mitzitza, the mitzvah is over, the refuah kicks in. So the Ran is mifurash. That Mitzitza is on which side of the equation? He's on the mitzvah side, not on the medicinal side. So the answer to our question is, from this Ran it seems very clear, not that we understand it, that Mitzitza is the chelik of the mitzvah. But then the Ran changes tune. He says, v'afilu b'mitzitza atzmoi, and even Mitzitza itself, yesh lo ayin. We need a further look into it. Maybe not. Maybe after you completed the Priya, you actually finished the Mila. The Dilma ha Metzitza Mikre Refuah, and maybe the Metzitza is merely medicinal, v'loy tzarech melehi, v'tzarech in. What are the two tzadim of the Ran?
What's he doing with the Gemara?
Okay, good, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll come to that. So the two tzadim of the Ran are Mamash Arsafik. What's Arsafik? Is Metzitza a chelik of the Maisa HaMitzvah, or is Metzitza just like the bandages? What's the nafkamina, says the Ran, when the Gemara says that once you pull back your hand, you finish the procedure, you don't go back for tzitzinam she'enam akfim. Well, it wasn't meant to finish the Mila. So the first teretz of the Ran is finishing the Mila means Metzitza is the end of the Mila. That's the end of the Mila. After Metzitza, the Mila's over. Says the second pshat in the Ran, I'm not sure. Maybe Metzitza is not a chelik of the Mila. Maybe Metzitza is just like the bandages. And no one thinks for a second that while you haven't yet bandaged the baby's not come out. The Mila ends with Perea. So the two tzadim in the Ran are gufo ar safik, is Metzitza chelik of the Maisa Mitzvah, Metzitza is merely medicine. Okay? The Ran's not machriya. Now the...
Yeah, but why can't there be a middle view? Meaning, no, it's not part of the Maisa Mitzvah of the Mila, but until you've done it, it's not considered as if you stopped.
Okay. So you want to argue on the premise that the definition of stopping and starting might not be relevant to what's considered a chelik from the Maisa HaMitzvah or from the Kima Mitzvah. Possibly.
Right.
Now, there's a third possibility, which we'll get to, that maybe it's sakana, but that still makes it part of the Maisa HaMitzvah. Meaning, there are those who want to learn the Ran's like this. The Ran held that avada you can't argue on the Gemara. The Gemara says it's sakana. But because it's sakana, does that make it now? And avada, it's not Maisa HaMitzvah. But because it's only Maisa HaMitzvah because of sakana, and not because it says in the Torah, maybe that's not enough to make it considered part of the essential Maisa HaMitzvah. There are those who want to learn that avada the Ran is not negated to our shayla. Both sides of the Ran agree that Metzitza is a chelik of the Maisa HaMitzvah because it's sakana. It's essential. Now, so what's the suffix of the Ran? The suffix of the Ran is that maybe because the only reason why it became part of the mitzvah was only because of sakana, as opposed to be written in the Torah, maybe that's not enough to be considered part of the actual Maisa Hamila. Just to go kvetch in the Ran. The simple reading of the Ran, you conclude that the Ran is suffix is whether or not Metzitza is a chelik of the Maisa Hamitzvah or not. In number 5, there's a Tashbitz. Again, it's hard to find rise from Rishonim, so I'm going to try to find as much rise from Rishonim as we can. There's a lot of Achronim, not so many Rishonim. So Reb Asher Weiss, in the Minchas Asher, on the one that came out on Inyani Bris Mila, the one that's... I'm still right, I don't know. I always thought that in the Kuntres that he put out on Bris Mila are all different parts of Minchas Asher scattered in other places, just put together in one sefer to make it easier. That's what I thought, because whenever I was looking at other pieces, I was able to find it in other Minchas Ashers. This shtickle, I was not able to find in other pieces of Minchas Ashers, so it leads me to believe that perhaps this was written specifically maybe for this Kuntres Hamila, I don't know, but that's why I didn't photocopy it for you, because that Kuntres, I don't have in my Oitzer HaChachma, that Kuntres just came out not so long ago, came out Tavshinayin Ches, not so long ago, and I was hoping it was in other pieces of Minchas Ashers, but I couldn't find it, so I'm assuming this maybe was specifically... I don't know of any sefer written just on Mila. I'm not aware that Rav Asher has any sefer just on Mila that I'm aware of. But in any case, so Rav Asher Weiss quotes a Tashbitz, a very funny Tashbitz. The Tashbitz in number 5 was discussing a Shaila when you have two brisim to do. He was talking about a case of back-to-back brisim. How do you do two brisim? How do you do two brisim? Do you make one brach on both babies, two brachas? How do you do the whole procedure? So the Tashbitz reads like this in number 5. He says, "V'chein nogu pi arasi ilim koymis achem. V'chein shemati shenoygim came behavim koymis. Elo shah mevim koys el shehem mevim koys lecholecha v'echad. Each baby gets his own koys. V'oyim v'echad loy v'kolecha v'echad. Loymer olav elokenu v'lakem zenu. They make the bracha. Elokenu v'kenu kamis yelav zeh whatever. Kedei she's baruch kolecha mehem b'shem miyuchad. B'koys miyuchad. Each baby gets their own special koys and their special bracha. V'ein mivarchim by pri agafen." You make one bracha by Pri Gafen on the first one, and then you'll name the first baby, and then you'll name the second baby. Zokter Tashbitz, the aim bachi of klal, elalas is nachas ruach l'noshim. Want to make the women happy, okay? Frek the Tashbitz, v'av apish shebein mila l'mila. Who might say frek the Tashbitz? But between each baby, you're gonna do mitzitza. And you're gonna put on medicine, and you're gonna tie up the diaper. So frek the tashbitz. Why is it not considered a hefsek? I made a bari priya gofen on the first cup, and then I did the first mila, and then after that I take a break. I bandage the baby and I do mitzitza to the baby. So frech the tashbitz, why is that not a problem of hefsek? Again, I made one bracha before and now I am going to take a break and then I'm going to continue. Says the tashbitz, it's not a problem. Why? Shakol mitzarchi miluhu. It's all part of the procedure. Kitoil baruch. That's the end of the answer of the tashbitz. So frech the basha wise, 1 second. Frech the basha wise. He says that, what's the suffix of the tashbis? Right, so I'm going to read it to you inside. Correct the Basha Weiss, he says, Hare mevor de be'emes eina metzitza megof hamila. If the metzitza was part of the maisa, then what's the tashbis issue? Tashbis is bothered by the kasha. How can I do metzitza in between baby one and baby two? It's a hefsek. What do you mean it's a hefsek? It's part of the mitzvah. Says the Basha, you see from over here, that from the fact that the tashbis was bothered with the kasha, that why isn't it considered a hefsek? You see clearly that it can't be a chelik from the ma'aseh mitzvah. Because if it would be a chelik from the ma'aseh mitzvah, you wouldn't be bothered with a kasha. And again, it's meduyik like that. Because was the tashbis also right? He asks about mitzitza and he asks about the bandages. So he's like putting them in the same category. So says Rav Asher, you see from this tashbis, from the fact that the tashbis even was bothered with the kasha, I mitzitza, what do you mean mitzitza is a hefsek? No one asked, I the pre of baby one is a hefsek between baby two. That's the procedure. Elamai, you see from over here that it sounds like from the tashbits that this might be a shaila of that the tashbits understood that it's not a chelik of the ma'isa mitzvah, and therefore he was bothered with a kasha. Why is it not a hefs? Okay, that's one raya that Rav Asher brings from this tashbits. Now, in the achronim, many achronim discuss this shaila. For example, the Avdenezer. Avdenezer was from some of the later achronim which we're going to get to today. The Avdenezer discusses the famous the Avdenezer. The Sachet Shavar, he discusses this shayla. Number 6. Im ha mitzitza hu mi'ikar chivas mitzvahs mila. Is mitzitza one of the obligation of the mitzvah of mila? Or yirak mishum sakana satinik? It's merely medicinal. Oh, sorry, let me get the page down. Is it merely medicinal? Or is it actually a chelik of the ma'isa mitzvah? What are some of the nafkaminas that we can think of right off the top of our head? Can you use a lady? Can you use a guy? Can you use a katan? Right? No one cares who wraps the diaper. You never heard of a kibbutz, okay? I'm going to be mechabed ployni with the wrapping of the diaper after the bris milah. It would be a nice kibbutz to create, but no such kibbutz. Yet when it comes to mitzitza, we know that there's much more emphasis given on who does the mitzitza. So the Avnezer answers, right?
Why can't you say that the mitzvah is not mitzitza, but it's a cause and effect? That once you do the mitzvah, you know you're going to have to do mitzitza. So
very good.
It's not the mitzvah, but.
Very good. That's exactly what the Avnezer is going to get to in a few minutes. The Avnezer is going to basically develop a svara that if you have to do something, that now becomes part of the mitzvah. Because what are mitzvahs? Mitzvahs are things you have to do. So when Hashem said do X and Y, and when you do X and Y, automatically you have to do Z, now Z is ki'ilu, it's commanded from Hashem as well. Now the only question then is, so where do you end? You also have to bandage the baby. So why don't bandages following that logic also become part of the mitzvah? So we'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. So the Avnezer right off the bat at number 6 writes, Tshuva, L'chayra pasha de'enei rach b'shem sakana. Says the Avnezer, I don't understand the shayla. Read the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara we started off with today. You see clearly from the Gemara that's only about danger. Then he adds, Dehimol yimol, the pasuk of, it says, Himol yimol, achas lemila, achas lepriya. U'metzitza mehechatesa. Where does it say anything about mitzitza? Now, he's referencing a Gemara in Yevamos, which we quoted a few weeks ago, maybe already might be a month, where the Gemara says there's a drush to include priya. There's a pasuk, himol yimol. One is for mila and one is for priya. In fact, Adonizah, but there's no Gemara that says himol yimol, something else for mitzitza. So mitzitza is out of the mitzvah of mila. Now, we'll see there's an Arachayim HaKadosh in Pashas Tazri on the next page that tries to find the smach for it in the pasuk as well. But the Tainas Adonizah, there's no pasuk for it. So therefore, it doesn't exist as a mitzvah. Now, here's where the Avnezer tries to come up with a creative idea. Says the Avnezer, we know, and we spoke about this much, much at length many, many months ago, there's something called a tafas dambris. That part of the ma'isa mila is not just cutting, but we want blood to come out. A tafas dambris, that's what we spoke about, cases where, let's say, the baby's noiled mohol, or it's a ger. We spoke a lot about this. Michael, you can tell us what month we spoke about it and what shurim we discussed many, many months ago. So says the Avnezer, I have a gevaldic idea. Maybe mitzitza is part of the mitzvah of atavas dambris. We know atavas dambris is a mitzvah, and mitzitza is suctioning out the blood. Oh, so that's how mitzitza becomes a mitzvah. So it says that the nezer v'af v'imki atavas dambris mitzvah k'mashi pirush Rashi. Even if you want to accept the notion that getting the blood out is a mitzvah, Says that in Ezra, you don't need mitzitza. Because by nature, just cutting and pull back, blood will come out. That would be fulfillment of Hatavas Dambris. The Adonizer is suggesting that I need to do Mitzitza to fulfill Hatavas Dambris. Says the Adonizer, that's not true. Because just cutting and pulling it back will produce blood. Right? If you ever look at the Moyle's hands after he does that, there's blood. Teretz says, that alone produces the blood. So I don't need Mitzitza to produce the blood. The blood is produced by just cutting and pulling it back. So don't try to tell me that the reason why mitzitza is a mitzvah because it's under the banner of Atavas Dam Bris, because every bris has to have blood come out. Because the bris, the blood will come out without the mitzitza. V'oid, says Avdi Nezer, the b'Shabbos Amar Papa Hay Umna Dolei Ma'itza Mavrinu Le'pshita Mechalim Shabbos HaSakonahi V'yamit the mitzitza Me'ikra Chiyav Mitzvah Mila Ein Raya the Sakonahu, the mitzvah Gufa Deich HaShabbos. Frek, Avdi Nezer, another very strong raya. The Gemara is trying to figure out whether or not mitzitza is a sakonah. And what was the Gemara's tipping point? Well, if I'm allowed to violate the Shabbos for it, it must be it's a sakana. In fact, Avdinezer, what's the proof? Maybe mitzitza is not a sakana. But you know why you're allowed to violate Shabbos for mitzitza? Because you're allowed to violate Shabbos for Mila. Mila is a mitzvah that's doicha Shabbos. And if mitzitza were to be a chelik of the mitzvah, so the same way the chaticha and the priya is doicha Shabbos, so too the mitzitza is doicha Shabbos. And the reason why chaticha, cutting the foreskin of the baby is doicha Shabbos, not because the baby's in danger. It's because it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. So argue that Avnei Nezer, if mitzitza would be considered a chelik of the mitzvah, that would itself be a reason why it's Deicha Shabbos. Why does the Gemara have to come up with creative reasons? Why the mitzitza is Deicha Shabbos? Because it's sakana. I'll tell you why mitzitza is Deicha Shabbos. Because it's part of the mitzvah. And if this, and if priya is Deicha Shabbos and chaticha is Deicha Shabbos, mitzitza is Deicha Shabbos. Elamai says Avnei Nezer, you see from the Gemara that that's not true. You see from the Gemara that the only way to justify mitzitza being Deicha Shabbos if mitzitza is a sakana. So you see, it's not a chelik of the Maisa HaMitzvah. Okay, that's one of the Avnei Nezer's rites.
Rabbi?
Yes?
I just asked my brother-in-law, who's a pediatric surgeon.
Oh, terrific.
I put the question, is do doctors do a mitzitza when do a circumcision? They draw out blood normally, even on a non-Jew.
Perfect.
So his answer was, of course not. Invariably, there is some bleeding, but we are not going for that. That was his answer.
Wow.
So in other words, they don't do mitzitza.
Really? They don't do anything?
No.
That's fascinating. Wow, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Wow.
My brother-in-law does a lot of prism in the hospital. Right. He does it with Rav Krohn. Rav Krohn actually uses him as his go-to guy.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating. That is interesting. So again, so that means, so why? Okay, so that makes it a little bit more complicated for us today, because again, the Gemara is clearly stating that our mitzitza is because of sakana. Now, even if you want to accept the notion that mitzitza is a chelik of the Maisa Mitzvah, it all dates back to sakana, which is interesting.
Right.
That is fascinating. Okay, thank you for that.
There
I really appreciate it.
In the Gemara that was presumed to be sakana.
Oh, so that was what they asked the Avnei Nezer. That's what they argued to the Stei Chemed. Again, the Stei Chemed lived in the late 1800s. That they made this argument that the mitzitza has changed. It's no longer dangerous. It's no longer... Again, we'll see, there's a famous Rambam that we need to see, where the Rambam says you have to do mitzitza to get the blood from the far-flung places. Mekoymes harachoykim. Whatever that means. We'll have to deal with this from a halachic standpoint. Again, it all makes the question so much more complicated. If it's no longer that dangerous, so then why are we making such a big tumult about it? Now, this is only going to make the question so much more complicated when we get to Bli Neder either next week or a third week or maybe a fourth week, we start to discuss at what risk do we put people at to do mitzitza bepeh. The original shaila...
Where did we say it had to be prepared? We just said mitzitza.
And chami. Right. So again, we're jumping two steps.
It's even on Shabbos, it's even worse.
That's right. A, Deicha Shabbos. B, putting people at risk. Now, we're going to talk about Bli Neder when we get into the real controversial part of the sugya. We're going to be discussing mitzitza b'peh. But the truth is, the mitzitza b'peh started way before, you know, recently. It really started in the 1980s, where many achronim, Rabbi Yashiv and others, were discussed with Bali Tshuva and Geirim, where there was concern of AIDS. That was really when it first came up. Then later, it came later because there were studies, and we'll have to get to how reliable some of the studies are. We'll tackle it from a medical standpoint, about other herpes or other things being transmitted from the moil to the baby. But the real concern was AIDS. Right? If a baby or an adult has AIDS, and you're going to do mitzitza b'peh, right, that's very much exposing yourself to something like AIDS. But again, if it's not sakana, and let's imtim soloimer is sakana. Now, are you mechoyev to put yourself in sakana to do something that's only because of sakana? Chayv not. Why on earth should I put myself in sakana just to fulfill something that could be done, or maybe is not even essential? So, neither, that ha'ara from Jay was very, very helpful. Again, perhaps makes things more complicated, but definitely an interesting ha'ara from a medical standpoint. So again, we're trying.
Does that mean like nowadays with coronavirus that maybe that you wouldn't have to do it?
No, I think you would. I don't. You might not have to do the pair. You'd have to do something, which we'll get to how you do that. You'll have to use some form of another version of a suction. However, that suction is going to be accomplished, we'll get to. But again, I'm not willing.
Even if you use the tube, it could be very dangerous to the mile. No.
I don't think there's any. Again, this. I don't know. I'm going to leave off in that regard from Corona, how that would affect the baby to the mile. I'm not sure. There are different reports.
Have to have a toughest down bris.
Right.
So perhaps the blood that is coming from the inside, the tzitzit blood, let's call it that, that's the din of a toughest down bris. Well, this is called the foreskin. It's a different type of blood.
Good, we'll get to that in a second. Good, we'll get to that in a few minutes. The Abinazer himself is going to suggest that in a few minutes. Blinette, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly. You have to speak to Dr. Glatt, would probably be more helpful in this regard about knowing what diseases are passed from what from whom to who. But Blinette,
I think last week's Jewish week about Moalim and coronavirus. So the reform and conservatives.
Oh, really?
You should do it right away. You should take him out of the hospital. When to do it?
Oh, that's great. Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay, it's good to know. I didn't see.
It's not halacha. I'm not sure.
No, it's interesting. It's always like.
It's not halacha.
No, it's always interesting to see from a medical standpoint. I like to hear what everyone has to say. So again, we'll see that till we get to the real Geshmaka controversy of Metzitza might be a while, because again, you can't start hacking a chinik about how to do Metzitza unless you first figure out what Metzitza is. I think that's where a lot of people miss the sugya. They're hacking a chinik. You got to do Metzitza X and Y way. Why? Figure out what it is first. So we're going to have to go on a little bit of a run over here to figure out what we can dig up about Metzitza. So we have the Adinezer. Again, the best we have is the Ran, the Tashbitz, a Medrash, and the Adinezer seems to this point to think that it's merely just Sakan. The Stei Chemed, over here, number 7, he quotes from the Malbushe Yomtif to the Tosis Yomtif. We know the Tosis Yomtif, Yomtif Lipa Heller. The Tosis Yomtif lived in the 1600s. We're going way back a little bit now. We're going a while back. The Tosis Yomtif was famous for his commentary in the Mishnah, but then later more famous for his famous moving kinna that he wrote, his tefillah that he wrote about Tach V'Tat. Why 1648, 1649, during Chmelnytsky's revolt where so many Jews were killed, that's when he wrote his beautiful piece of tefillah about not showing proper Kedushas basic Neses. Obviously, we can all feel that as well as today. But nonetheless, that's what he wrote. Just on a side note, now one of the perks of having homeschooling is you get to hear what your kids learn in school. So my son is in first grade, and his Rebbe was teaching them something, and it was Murdik, it never hit me this way. His Rebbe was teaching the Gemara and Yevamos, which we had in the Tuesday night share, that Rebbe Akiva's students died 24,000 in a small time frame. So the Rebbe told the boys, he said, you know, whenever he used to read that Gemara, I never really thought, like, how does that happen? When do you ever find such a thing? Right? He said, Maisa, we see now how many Jews have died in a very small window. It's unbelievable. So many Yidden Nebuch have died in a very small time. We're talking about in a few weeks, you hear about over and over and over so many deaths. So he was just bringing out the Gemara, and the Gemara says that Talmid Rav Akiva died, 24,000 died. And again, we learned in Tuesday night shir, it was a small time. It was at best 33 days. And you say to yourself, come on, what type of epidemic does that type of damage? The answer is we see it b'chush, what an epidemic can do in a small amount of time. So it was just one of the perks of having your kids at home. You get to hear what the Rebbe is teaching the kids. But that's not a gift because my wife bought them headphones. Now I don't get to hear what the Rebbe says anymore. Okay, in any case, now I got to do these things on my own. Now, in any case, so Rabbi Yomtif Lipa Heller lived in the 1600s. We're talking about the 1600s. We're going a while back. And he writes like this. Says the Stei Chemed, V'reisi b'seif ha-sefer tshuva shleima b'zeh me'esi didi ha-goyim Rabbi Yitzchak ha-koyin Feigenbaum she'ilo shenishlu ha-badat depo im nochon lasis metzitza b'peh. Again, metzitza b'peh was already an issue in 1600s. It is it right to do it ayidei kli z'chuchas? Are you allowed to use a kli? Are you allowed to use glass? Most people think that metzitza is just for medicinal purposes. Like it says in the Gemara. Not true. Metzitza is part of the mitzvah. And it's not just sakana. That's a very big statement. You got to back that up. Based on what? So he writes, I've arrived in Maril. Okay. Huva b'darki Moshe. Quoted by the Darki Moshe. Okay, that's reliable. Why? The mitzitza ikka mitzvah levah mi sakanto. I have a raya from a Ramon and Shulchan Aruch that Mitzitza is a chelik of the Maisa Mitzvah. Why? Because the Daki Moshe quotes a Maril that says, Yesh noyim lizroi bepiv, mipiv dam ha-Mitzitza b'chil. What do you do with the blood that's in your mouth after the Mitzitza? So everyone knows that the foreskin we bury. What do you do with the blood in your mouth? So the Maril clears, what do you do with it? So first he says, you put it in the dirt like you do the Arlo. Then he writes, V'yesh noyim lizroi bepiv, V'yesh noyim lizroi bepiv dam ha-Mitzitza techayayin. Some people say you spit it into the wine. So different men hug him. What do you do with the blood from the mitzitza? The Ramah b'shulchan aruch siman reish amach esiv yud hechriya, and the Ramah weighs in on this, and he passes k'minig arishin shikasav. The chen roiking yidam ha-mitzitza ela ofi, supposed to split the blood back into the dirt. So says the Tosfos Yom Tov. 1 second. If mitzitza is just medicinal, who cares what you do with the blood? What's the shaila? Is there a shiloh which company band-aid you're supposed to buy? Should you buy this company or you buy that company? Do you put on this way? That, who cares? Whatever works. So for right there, why does it matter what you do with the blood? It must bleed that you see from here. That's not true. That the mitzitza is part of the mitzvah and everything is part and parcel and everything has to be done a certain way. That's his right. And then he concludes and he writes, Adam Arishan, his first sin was with his hands. He sinned with his hands, sinned with his mouth. That mila is supposed to be misakin a chet Adam Arishan. And since Adam Arishan sinned with his hands and with his mouth, so we got to be misakin with our hands and with our mouth. He says, "V'chein kosev ari b'lekutei toyer pashal lechachad the milah begematria peh." Okay, the milah is gematria peh. The ram is ala matzitza bepeh. We'll talk more blineda when we get into matzitza bepeh specifically about this arizah. But that's the point. So, what's his raya? This is a real raya. It's being a raya from the Daki Moshe, from the Ramah, from the fact that the Ramah has a shayla and the Maril has a discussion on how to dispose of the blood. So you see that's part of it's a mitzvah. It's not just medicinal. Does anyone discuss how do you dispose or how do you deal with the band-aids? There it is. It's different. Says the Avinezer, no raya at all. Says the Avinezer, you know why it's no raya? He says, umashikas of maril. Lishpech dam shebepiv la'ofer l'mayim davka mishum shiyesh gam dam shiyotz emachitach v'apriya. Because some of the blood is coming from the cut. The cut is atavas dam bris. That blood is takatah. That blood is kaddish. That was blood that fulfilled the mitzvah atavas dam bris. And that blood, we talk a care about how you get around it. The actual blood that you're suctioning out to prevent danger, that we don't care about. The blood that we concern about is maybe when you did the mitzitza, you also had some leftover blood from the original cut. And the blood that came out from the cut, that's tavas dam bris, which we call a mitzvah. And that's why the Daki Moshe was concerned in how to dispose of that blood. So the Avinezer thinks there's no raya from the Daki Moshe. Okay? If you look at number 10, in the Sefer Yehuda, I skipped over here, one more raya, number 9. Stechemet, very cute raya. You can only appreciate this raya if you stuck around to the end of a bris, which most of us don't, because we're on the way to go to work, so we run, we're leaving, we don't stick around for the end of the bris. If you ever stuck around for the end of the bris, you'll notice, or you remember from your kids or your grandkids, that there's a special insertion that we make in the benching at a bris milah. So it says the Stechemet, the Gevaldik raya. He says, he quotes some others, that there's a raya from the python in the benching. What does it say in the benching? It says, "Harachmon yivarech es hamol b'sar ha'orlo, upareya umoitzeitz d'mei hamila, ish hayorei v'rach ha'livovav ha'vidos ha'psulo, im shlosh eila lo yasala." In the Python, and you look up in your benchers at home, you'll see this, that we mention this idea, that we say in the benching that Harachmon, who yivarech Hashem, shall give a bracha to that person who did, mila, priya emetzitza. Because if you don't do all three things, the avoid is possible. They're all equal. Comes from the Rishonim. So it says, I have a rai from the Python that we recite on benching that mitzitza is a chelik of the ma'aseh mitzvah. Okay, interesting raya. Take it or leave it, but that's one of the rayas that he brings. The Sefer Yehuda Yal, written by Rabbi Yehuda Asad. Rabbi Yehuda Asad was also one of the Talmidim his contemporary of the Chassam Sofer. They say that when the Chassam Sofer died, he really took over heavily the Chassam Sofer's role of being the Poisik in Hungary. So he writes like this, a very, very big Chiddush. Now let's go till now, what are our possibilities? That Mitzitza is merely medicinal, no different than Band-Aids, or Mitzitza is somehow creatively a chelik from the Maisa Mitzvah, but we don't really have a source for it. Says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, It's a little hard to read. He writes, V'im kein, mitzitza akorchoch, sakonihi. I'm sorry, the last line, el akorchoch. De mitzitzas miguf ha-mitzvah hu. Mitzitza is part of the mitzvah. K'moi, he writes over here, k'moi ha-mila v'ha-priya. It's as essential as mila and priya. V'ha-priya nami ovid chabura, v'loi nosna priya la-avram, v'eina mufurasha b'teira. Says that Maria said, ah, you'll tell me, priya is not mufurasha in the Torah. It's from a drasha, himol, yimol. Rak mi-ha-locho le-moshe m'sinai. He says, "Hachanami ha-metzitza b'chlal halach l'moishem esinai mitzvase b'kach." Says Reb Yehuda Asad that it's a halach l'moishem esinai. Metzitza is a chelik of the ma'isa mitzvah because it's a halach l'moishem esinai. Okay, if you accept it, you accept it. It's such a halach l'moishem esinai. You got to accept it. So argues Reb Yehuda Asad, the Bri Asad, that metzitza is a chelik of the ma'isa mitzvah and it's a halach l'moishem esinai. Okay, I don't know if he says so. He says so. So that's the easy route. That you don't have to try to break your head and trying to figure out where's their mekar from mitzitza. There is no mekar from mitzitza. So why is mitzitza chelik of the mila? It's halacha l'moishe m'sinai that way. Okay. Then we have the levush. The levush was a Mordechai Yaffe. He lived in the mid to late 1500s. He was around the times of the Ramah. We're going way back. And he writes the following. He says, let's say you didn't do the bris on the eighth day, because the baby was sick or something else. That's what we call in English a mila shalay bismanoi. We know that mila is deicha Shabbos only if it's a mila bismanoi. If it's shalay bismanoi, it's not deicha Shabbos. Shemini vaday mashma v'loy shemini saf. Dehainu shalay bismanoi. V'afilu bismanoi, and even if the bris mila takes place bismanoi, einoi deicha ela hamila atzmai upriya umitzitza. Shekula mi'ikar hamila hem. So the Achrayim point out from this Levush, it sounds like that what? Sheheim, what's his words? Shekula me'ikar hamilahim. They're all the ikar hamilah. So it sounds like from him that he's assuming that Metzitza is also a chelik of the Ma'is HaMila. Now he's not explaining how he knows that, he's just merely stating the facts that Mila is considered a chelik from the Ma'is, the Metzitza is considered a chelik from the Ma'is HaMila. If you turn to the next page, I found this, I think it's called like Metzitza, a whole country is written on Metzitza. Very fascinating. So he brings over here from the Reb Tzvi Hirschchias, also known as the Maritzchias. That's often found in back of the Gemara. The Maritzchias also is attempting to bring a raya that mitzitza is a chelik of the mitzvah. And he brings a raya like this. He brings a raya that's not a mitzvah. He says that there's a medrash. The medrash in Tehillim says on the pasuk, "Kolatz moisei temar na Hashem micha moicha, all my bones say praises to Hashem." So the Medrash reads like this: Shekol Eva ve'Eva Shabodim Mekayim Eidim Mitzvah. Every body part does a mitzvah. Ukeshemagia lepeh. When we got to the mouth, we said it says Tehilas Hashem Midabepi, meaning the mouth's mitzvah is praising Hashem. So frekt Maritzchias v'Amma Maritzchias Mekayim Shem Medrash Ein Emayne Kan Shegam HaMitzitza He Mitzvah Shemekayim Eidim Lepeh. Frekt Maritzchias, I don't get it. You want to know mitzvah that you do with your mouth? Mitzitza, Bashit. The Medrash is trying to say that every body part I do a mitzvah with, but when I get to my mouth, I use my mouth to praise Hashem. What do you mean I use my mouth to praise Hashem? I use my mouth to do mitzvah to prepare. So says Maritzchias, v'ray l'dover she'nenu mitzvah. So therefore, it must be a ray that's not a mitzvah. Because if mitzvah were to be a mitzvah, why couldn't the Medrash keep with the narrative? Every body part I used to do a mitzvah. And my mouth, what mitzvah did with my mouth? Mitzvah. So argues the Maritzchias, you see the mitzvah is not a mitzvah. Now we can all imagine this is a very shvach ray. Why? As the author of the Sefer writes, he says, with all due respect, Maritzchias, this is b'chlal, not a rai at all. Why? Do you want the Medrash to go on, giving all the different mitzvahs? You know what mitzvahs do with our mouth? Achilas matzah, maror, ve'enu niskarim sham. And we mentioned this before Pesach, famous var from the Sfasemis. Sfasemba says that the whole idea of Pesach is that we do so much with our mouth to be mesach in our mouth. Pesach, that's Pesach. It's all about the mouth. So argues this mechaber of the sefer. He says, "What are you talking about? The Medrash says what mitzvah do with your mouth? I praise Hashem. Oh, Frank the Maritzchias, why don't you say mitzvah peh? I got a better kasha. Why don't you say achilas matzah? Why don't you say achilas morah? Why don't you say divrei Torah? I don't know. The Torah says the Medrash wasn't getting involved in that. So he says, but I have a better raya." He says, "Va'ein zeh nisker sham. V'noyt of lekach yesh lespalei. I can ask you a bigger kasha. If you want to bring the Rav in the Medrash, I got a better proof. Because the Medrash continues and it says, Higid mitzvahs milo priya. Birkayim behem ani oises sandakos, li'alodim, b'shas milo priya. The Medrash says, what do I do with my thighs? What good is there a lap? Why does Kodesh give us a lap? So the Medrash says, oh, my lap, I hold the baby, and they do priya and milo. Why don't they say mitzitza? There it is. Why don't they say mitzitza? They ask him as a mitzitza. I'm not the feed that is winning. That's also not a raya. Kikvishas vareinu a mitzitza ena mi ikri ha mitzvah el mishiyore. Ulecheni nechlaz mi milo pri. The answer is, even if you hold the mitzitza is a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah on its own. It's absorbed into the greater mitzvah. And therefore, he thought there's no raya at all from any of this.
Is there a requirement that the baby be on someone's lap?
L'chari not. L'chari you can do mitzitza anywhere you want. You can do mitzitza on the, you know, wherever it's more comfortable.
Even the bris doesn't have to be in someone's lap, does it?
No, well, there's this big hakpada that they talk about doing it dafka on someone's legs because of this medjah on the birkayim. But yes, it's not ma'akiv if you did it on the table either. Now, let's come back to the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer still, so far, has been pushing the narrative that mitzitza, sakona, sakona, sakona. And now he turns the table on us. Says the Avnei Nezer, number 13, left corner, Asha Akein Nirni. Nihi, the hoder of papa mochachti labishim sakona loheisha mitzvah mitzitza. You're right. If not for the fact that mitzitza was medicinal, it wouldn't be anything. Mikomakam hashto shiesh sakono, shuv ha mitzitza mechla mitzvah mila. Now the Nezer takes the interesting approach like this. You're right. The initial purpose of mitzitza was medicinal. But now that mitzitza made it to the table, now it becomes part of the mitzvah. You're right. Mitzitza only came into the equation because of sakono, not because of a pasuk and not because of a medrash. But now that mitzitza is in the equation because of sakana, it now becomes no longer just sakana, and now gets bumped up to being mitzvah also. And he says, I'll prove it to you. He brings a rai from a Tosfos Yeshayahu Miksubis. He brings a rai from a Tosfos Yeshayahu Miksubis. The Gemara is trying to figure out, it's the Gemara over there, there's a sugi of Kimle B'Drabmine. How is it possible if I do one thing, I'm going to be over two separate things? So the Gemara over there is talking about if I steal something and I eat it, and the thing is Machal Sasuris. So the question is, at what point do I pick it up and I'm chayef gneva versus what point am I considered eating it? So the Gemara over there says the efshar lachil b'lahagbal. The Gemara says you can eat without picking it up. Now, you've seen people eat like that. They eat mamash off the table. They stick their face into the food. They can eat without ever picking up the food. So they're never magbia the food. They're never kain the food, and therefore then they eat the food later, right? So he writes the iboy got because the Gemara says b'had the efshar lachil b'lahagbal. The iboy gachem v'achol shim loy haya efshar lachil b'lahagbal. Let's say it'd be impossible to pick up the food, to eat without picking up the food, then the hagbah would already be considered the beginning of the zman o'iser for the machal sasurus. To keep in she efshe b'lay hagbah, since it's impossible, kish amre toy leisoicha kiel amre leisebiyo v'tach. Said the Tzitzis, the Torah says don't eat machal sasurus. It didn't just mean put it down your throat. It meant don't do a procedure of eating. What's the procedure? Picking up and putting it in my mouth. But since it's possible to do without that, then that no longer becomes part of the dip. Says the Avnei Nezer Hachinami. Kivan she efshar the meal below mitzitza. Since I can't do a meal without a mitzitza, filav ha mitzitza hayu asa lomol. And without mitzitza, I wouldn't be allowed to do the bris. Lesakein hatinet to put the baby in tzakana. So therefore, kisha amre Torah limol ki ilu amre maol umotzes. Says the Avnei Nezer, I don't need a pasuk for the Torah. Now that the Torah told me to do a milah, and every milah requires a mitzitza, it's ki ilu the Torah tells me do a mitzitza also. Therefore, Zakta Adonijah, now Mitzitza becomes part of the Maisa HaMitzvah. Why? Because it's essential. How did it become essential? For medicinal reasons. Agreed, says Adonijah. It made it to the table because of essential medical reasons. But now, the Torah is basically telling me this is the only way to perform the Maisa HaMitzvah. Now, so what's the follow-up question? So why is the bandages not part of the Bris Milah? What happened to the bandages? Why is this any more essential than the bandages? Right? You can't do a Bris Milah if you don't have the ointment. You can't do a Bris Milah if you don't have the bandages. So according to Avnei Nezer, that should also be considered part of the Ma'isa Mila. So that to me is a shtickle tzarachian. We'll leave it at this. B'lineder, next week we'll pick up trying to navigate ourselves to understanding is Mila chelik of the Ma'isa Mitzvah. And then after we come up with that conclusion, we can then start to figure out, so why should we be so makbid on Mitzitza Bepeh or not if Mitzitza is merely just medicine.